காலம் பங்கும் லங்காயதே கிரிம் யத் கிருபா தமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். ஐ சல்யூட் கிருஷ்ணா, தி எம்பாடிமெண்ட் ஆஃப் சுப்ரீம் பிளஸ், பை ஹூஸ் கிரேஸ் த லேம் ஸ்கேல் மவுண்டன்ஸ் அண்ட் த டாம் பிகம் எலோக்வெண்ட். மே கிருஷ்ணா be the guide of our life. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita. Tonight we shall finish the third chapter of the Gita. In the first chapter of the Gita, Arjuna was confused and submerged with grief. In the second chapter, Krishna tried to remove that grief through the instruction of self-knowledge. And he also talked to him about karma yoga, that a person cannot be a jnani without going through action, unselfish action. In the later part of the second chapter of the Gita, Krishna eulogized or glorified the man of knowledge, Sthita Prajna, man of wisdom, whose intellect is established in the Atman. Now, in the beginning of the third chapter of the Gita, Arjuna raised a question, O Janardhan, O Krishna, if you think the path of knowledge is higher than path of action, why are you forcing me to follow the path of action? Why don't you ask me to follow the path of knowledge? Because that path is higher, as I understand from your conversation. Arjuna, Krishna replied, oh no, you have misunderstood me. Lukismin dibidha nishtha pura prukta mayanagha karma yogina sankhyanam jnana yogina yoginam. These are the two eternal paths, started from the very beginning of creation. The path of knowledge and the path of action. Those who have worldly desires, they must pass through the path of action. And those who have renounced the world, they should follow the path of knowledge. These two paths were earmarked from the very beginning of creation. I did not confuse you. You see, Arjuna, no man can live in this world without performing any action. Nahi koshchit shanamopi jatu tishthati akarmakrit. Work is better than the path of non-action. But how do you say that, Krishna? You see, Krishna was instructing according to the tendency of a person. He understood Arjuna's tendency, Arjuna Shamaskaras. So he instructed him accordingly. Krishna said, you see, there are some people physically do not do anything, but mentally enjoys the world. They're hypocrites. But those who have control the mind and fix their minds on God. If through the senses enjoy the worldly objects, they don't get bound. They are not bound. Because their minds are in God, but their bodies are in the world. Where is your mind? There you are. In that connection, we can compare the life of the gopis. Their minds were on Krishna, though they were performing their household duties. Then Krishna said, look, being God, being an incarnation of God, I am continuously working. If I stop work, there will be chaos in this world. This wheel of action was started by the Creator, from the beginning of creation. He who is contented with the Atman, with the Self, he is free from action. Even the illumined souls, after illumination, continue to perform action with a view to setting example for the people, for the world. I have no duties, still I am performing action. Arjuna, I suggest, please perform your Swadharma, your own karma. Then, toward the end of the third chapter, Arjuna asked another question. You know, I perform my duties, but sometimes I feel that an unseen force is pressing me to do something. What is that force? Could you explain to me? In that connection, Krishna said, Kama isha krodha isha rajaguna samudbhava mahasana mahapapma vidhi enam iha vairinam. With that unseen force is desire and anger. They are invisible enemies. They are constant enemies of the Jnanis. Destroy them. That desire covers the mind and does not allow a person to see his own self. They are insatiable. They are terrible enemies. Now verse 40. Indriyani panmano buddhiraisya adhisthanam uchyate etair vimohiti esha jnanam avritta dehinam. The senses, the mind and the understanding are said to be its seat. Through these it veils knowledge and deludes the embodied soul. Now Arjuna is trying to know the citadel, the home, the dwelling place of the lust and desire and anger. Could you tell me, O Krishna, where they live? Where do they live? Where they do live? I want to know. Indriyani, mano, buddhi, the senses, the mind and the intellect are the dwelling places of desire. Sitting there, desire puts a veil and thus the embodied soul, means jivatma, gets deluded. Desire is an unseen enemy. It is scattered in many places. It can take many forms, many shapes. You may destroy desire in one place, it will stay in another place. Suppose your desire for seeing is controlled, but desire for hearing is powerful. Desire moves from sense organ to sense organ. It is just like chronic rheumatism of the human in human body. You cure one in one place, it will shift to the other place. It is just like virus infection. They increase their germs, viruses, very fast. And they contract also. They expand, they contract. Like Rakta Bija. There was a demon named Rakta Bija in Chonji, in Devi Bhagavatam. Sorry, in Markandeya Purana. This demon had a peculiarity. Of course, he got a boon that if anybody cuts his body and if that blood touches the ground, immediately similar demons, as many drops will touch the ground, so many demons will come out. So when Mother Durga was killing that demon, that Rakta Bija, found that innumerable Rakta Bijas are coming. She could not kill all of them. At last she devised a plan. She engaged some jackals and other hobgoblins to suck the blood of the demon so that his blood may not touch the ground. So karma creates innumerable desires. Desire begets desires. As you know, Bhagavad Gita, there are many Gitas. Rama Gita, Shiva Gita. In the Mahabharata also, there are two more Gitas. Not too many. Two important are Kama Gita and Onu Gita. Onu Gita, after the Mahabharata war, in the Ashwamedhic Parvam, Arjuna asked a question to Krishna. Krishna, you know, at the battlefield, I was in tension. You know, I was so much worried. You gave me the supreme instructions of yoga. I forgot all those things. Could you repeat those things again? Krishna says, I can't. At that time, I was immersed in yoga. And I gave you that supreme teachings of yoga. But I can tell you in gist what I told you. So in that connection, Krishna gave some instructions to Arjuna. After the Mahabharata war, Yudhishthira, the elder brother of Arjuna, who was the king, was lamenting. Though they had victory, still he was lamenting for his friends and relatives who were killed in the battlefield. Krishna said to him, I think you did not win in that battle, in real battle. In that connection, Krishna recited the Kama Gita, desire, the Gita on desire. That is a very beautiful chapter of the Mahabharata. He says that if you think that I have killed my enemies, you have not killed. Until and unless you destroy your desire, you have not won in the battle of life. You conquer your mind, O King, then and then only you will win in the battle of your life. Desire makes a man slave, destroys freedom. Desire, as I told you many times, in Vedanta are three in number. Desire for progeny, desire for wealth, and desire for name and fame. These three desires can create innumerable desires. When we see TV commercial or when we read the Sears catalog, so many desires come in our minds to get all those objects, to all those things. Though you have a watch, you think, well, if I could get an Omega watch, perhaps that is better. You have a car, you know, or something else, or a TV set, you think, well, that set, colored one, that large one, perhaps that one is nice for me. Just see, that catalog creates desire in human mind. Nobody should be proud about the safety of his spiritual life. Because this eternal enemy, constant enemy of the spiritual seeker is desire. When it will attack you, you do not know. Desire is in every fold of your mind. They call it parote parote. Do you know what is parote parote? Parote parote means in like this, you know, in every fold. Here, hidden. Desire is there in the human mind. In every fold there is a desire. They say desire is moner parote parote. In every fold there is desire. Gyaninam api chetamsi. Even the jnanis are caught by desires. I told you a story, I remember. The Joimini, the great sage Joimini, was a disciple of Vyasa. One day he was proud of his spiritual life. He said to his guru, "I have conquered lust." Vyasa, the great teacher, said to his disciple, "Don't say like that. Don't be proud of your spiritual life." "Yes, I conquered. I have no lust." The guru listened to his disciples saying, you know, the disciples comment about his own life. In the evening, the disciple was worshipping, Joimini was worshipping Lord Shiva in the temple. And it was a rainy day, you know, it was deep rain, you know, it was raining. It is a very cloudy day. So a young girl came to the temple and asked Joimini, "Could I stay here tonight? Because I cannot go home. It is dark night and it is raining." Joimini said, "Well, you cannot just stay in the temple. You can go and stay in my cottage. And I shall stay in the temple. I shall not go in my cottage today. You better go." So Joimini took her to the cottage and gave her his room. And he closed the door and told that young woman that, you know, do not open the door. Even if I knock the door, please don't open it. So the door was locked from inside. And at midnight, his desire for that young woman came to his mind. So he went and started to knock the door and cried and yelled, but the door was not open. So early in the morning, Joimini was seated outside. He found the door was open and his guru came out. It was Vyasa who came in disguise of a young woman just to test his disciple. Then Vyasa said, "What? Did you not tell me that you have conquered lust? You had conquered lust? You didn't. Don't be proud of your spiritual life." Krishna is telling us the desire is within you. It is not in the object. External object creates stimulus within us. But if you have no desire, it will not affect you. For example, I do not drink wine. You may take me to the biggest provision or the biggest wine shop in this city and say, "Swami, these are the precious, you know, Spanish and Russian and, you know, German and American, all these expensive wines are here. Do you like to have any?" And it will not affect my mind at all because I have no desire with all those objects. External object is there, but it is not creating any stimulus within me. Because I don't have desire for wine. Because I don't drink it. I don't like it. Similarly, external objects may be around you, but if you have no desire, it will not affect you. You see, it is very subjective. Object is in front of you. External object. You may see it or you may not see it. It is up to you. Suppose here is a person, beautiful person. I can enjoy his or her beauty. Now that beauty is in front of me. Not necessarily I will have to see it. Or not necessarily I will have to close my eyes. You see, it is up to me whether I shall see that person or not. It is very subjective. So you may be encircled by the objects of the world. It is up to you whether you want to enjoy them or not. So Krishna says that desire lives in the senses, in the mind, in the intellect. O Arjuna, the desire is not in the object. The desire is in the subject. Sri Ramakrishna said, Bhog na hole tyag hoy na. If you do not finish your desires, this renunciation or non-attachment, dispassion will not come to you. And again, desire cannot be satiated by desires. By enjoying the desires. You see, there are, as fire cannot be extinguished by pouring butter, similarly, there are no end of human desire. You finish one, the other one is waiting for you. You finish that one, the other one is waiting for you. There is no end. Sri Ramakrishna said, small desires. You can finish your small desires by having them, and big desires can be removed through discrimination. Some people think I shall control desire through karma yoga, through sacrifice, through austerity. It is very difficult. Sri Ramakrishna's method is very good. Mod ghuriyeda. Change the direction of the desire. Don't kill them. When Turiyananda said to Sri Ramakrishna, Sir, could you tell me how I can conquer lust? You will not have to conquer it. Divert it toward God. Lord, I want you in my life. Automatically you will find that worldly desires will not bother him. Mod ghuriyeda. Next verse.
Tasmat tvam indriyanyadav niyama bharatarshava papmanam prajahiyenam jnanavijnana nashanam.
Therefore, O Lord of the Bharatas, control your senses at the outset and slay this foul destroyer of knowledge and realization.
Tasmattam indriyani adau niyamya bharatarshava.
O the leader, O the great warrior, O the great hero of the Bharata dynasty, Adau, in the beginning, Indriyani, Niyamya, control your senses. Prajahi, papmanam means this great evil should be relinquished mercilessly. Why? Enam, jnana, vijnana, nashanam, it destroys knowledge. Jnana and vijnana. Higher knowledge. I shall explain to you what jnana and vijnana means. In the beginning, Krishna said that desire dwells in the senses, in the mind, and in the intellect. So, Arjuna, first control your senses. We read in the Katha Upanishad, the simile of the chariot. Atmanam rathinam vidhi. No, that Atma is the dweller of the chariot. Intellect is the charioteer. Mind is the rein. The senses are the horses. The sense objects are the road. If the horses are controlled, means if the senses are controlled, then the chariot will reach its destination. If these horses are not controlled, it may overturn your chariot. So, in the beginning, Arjuna, control your senses. How can I control my senses? Through spiritual disciplines. Ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi sattva shuddhau dhruva smriti smriti lambe sarva granthinam vipra moksha. We are taking food through the senses continuously within. We are taking food within continuously through the senses. We are taking knowledge. Food means, the objects of the world through the eyes, through the ears, through the mouth, through the nose, through touch. We are continuously pouring all these things within. But if you gather good things within, your mind will be pure. If you gather all junk from outside, your mind will be impure. It depends upon your taste, what you are going to take from the world. Sattva Shuddhi Dhruva Smriti. And when the mind is pure, you will get clean memory, beautiful understanding. Smriti Lambe Sarva Granthinam Vipramoksha. When you get that memory, that understanding, you will be illumined. You will get liberation. Says the Chandogya Upanishad. Now, how to control the senses? One can control the senses through force. One can control the senses through careful observation, discrimination, and discipline. Let me give an example. There is a stray bull in the park, and the park people are trying to catch that bull because it may kill a person. It may create an accident on the street. So they are chasing the bull with the staff in hand. The park people are running toward the bull, perhaps hitting the bull, and bull is attacking them. So the people are all exhausted. At last they captured the bull after hard struggle. Perhaps they might have to shoot that bull. They might have to shoot him. There is another way to capture that bull. You can tame that bull with some green fodder, green grass. You take some green grass and allure that bull. Come on, come on, eat. And the bull may think, well, perhaps that man is good, wants to feed me. And in the meantime, you put a rope around his neck and capture that bull. You see, you can train your pet dog by beating or showing your anger or hitting or yelling. But as you have seen in Ringling Brothers Circus, a woman, shows all dog shows. She is the caretaker of a bunch of dogs, And after every performance, that girl, embraces the dog and sometimes, and caresses the dog. All dogs are under her control because she tamed them, she trained them, and the dogs follow her instructions. So similarly, you can control your senses. P- పాప్మానం నియమ భరత అజ్ఞాన తస్మాత్తం ఇంద్ర నియమ పాప్మానం ప్రజహీయనం పాప్మానం హీస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ది గ్రేట్ ఈవిల్ దిస్ డిజైర్ కేమ్ ఇన్ ది మైండ్ ఆఫ్ క్రైస్ట్ బుద్ధ రామకృష్ణ దిస్ డిజైర్ ట్రై టు టెంప్ట్ దెమ్ దిస్ డిజైర్ ట్రై టు డైవర్ట్ దియర్ మైండ్స్ టువర్డ్ ది వరల్డ్ బట్ ఇట్ వాజ్ అన్సక్సెస్ఫుల్ Desire could not make any hold on these gigantic minds. Sri Ramakrishna took a very positive approach toward desire. As I already told you, Sri Ramakrishna said, divert it toward God. Again, he made a beautiful comment. You see, if there is no desire, no anger and greediness, there is no test of spirituality. How do you know that you are spiritual? Thakur meant bole kam krodh bhagwan toiri korechen mahat lok toiri korben bole. God wanted to make some perfect human beings, so he created this kama, this desire, anger, jealousy, hatred, all these things he created because he wants to make a person great. That person is the only great who has conquered all these things. Otherwise, how can you prove that person is great or not? There is no proof. All beings are the same. Just see. All human beings will be the same if those things are not there. God created passion, jealousy, hatred, anger, greediness. Why? Because he wants to make people great. He who has conquered all those things, he is only great. Sri Ramakrishna too gave a very good interpretation, very positive, said something very positively about these things. But he said, you must control them. Jnano vijnano nashanam, jnanam atma vishayam, vijnanam shastriyam. Jnana means the knowledge of the self, and vijnana means the knowledge of the scripture. Tayur nashanam, the desire destroys both knowledge, both of these knowledge. Knowledge of the self as well as the knowledge of the scripture. Yadva jnanam shastra acharya upadeshajam. There is another meaning of knowledge is, jnana is shastra acharya upadeshajam. The knowledge which comes from the scripture and from the teacher. Vijnanam nididhyasana, nididhyasanajam. Vijnanam is special knowledge, supreme knowledge which comes through meditation. Intuitive knowledge. So in both intuitive knowledge, scriptural knowledge and the knowledge comes from the teacher, all are destroyed by desire. Tameiva dhiro vijnaya prajnam kurvita iti shrutehe. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, knowing the Atman, a man of knowledge, prajnam kurvita, he fixes his mind, intellect, on the self. Control your senses. Once in California, an American devotee wanted to go to the theater or some ballet dancing. He asked permission from Turiyananda. Turiyananda said, no, don't go. Why will you go? You have already have many impressions, many samskaras inside your mind. Why are you going to buy new samskaras? The ones you have, try to remove them first. Don't try to gather new samskaras. It would be a great impediment of your spiritual life. Control. Self-control is necessary. You see, I was reading M's conversation him took a vacation from his school and came to Dakshineswar to practice spiritual discipline under the guidance of Sri Ramakrishna. He used to cook for himself. Sri Ramakrishna said, rice, a little ghee and milk and nothing else. Then if you do not get too much rich food, you will not have to use too much energy for digesting that food, so that you can devote more time for spiritual life, and it will keep your stomach and head calm, cool. Within a few days, a letter came from his home. Sri Ramakrishna asked him, don't touch that letter. Don't open it. Amoy obeyed his guru. He did not open that letter. M made a comment that master wanted to pour intense spirituality within me. But if I would open that letter and read the letter, my mind would go to my family again, and it would be again scattered. Master did not want it. You see, he said, first be butter and then you float. First earn devotion, love for God, then you go wherever you want to. Nothing will contaminate your mind. Your mind will never be disturbed. That Sri Ramakrishna wanted. He wanted to give a thorough, rigorous training to him so that he may live in the world without any problem. That he wanted. You see, in the very beginning, a spiritual seeker must be uncompromising. No father-mother business here. You must go with him and get some taste. Then you go ahead. The main thing I tell you frankly, many people come to Vedanta after a few years. They say, well, Swami, we don't get anything here. It is dry. They complain. Do you know why? They have never, never, never tried to go with him. So within a few years, this dryness comes. Many things come in life, Mind goes to the other direction. I am 25 years, 30 years, 40 years in Vedanta. Did you ever try to go with him? He was telling the devotees, make a rule that this time to this time I shall be in my shrine. That morning, this time to this time, evening, this time to this time, I shall be in the shrine. If suppose some evenings due to some unavoidable circumstances, if I cannot go to sit in the shrine, but I with that 1 hour or half an hour, which is my schedule, I shall go to the shrine. Or next day, I shall do double. You see, in the very beginning, 10 years, 12 years, if one person practices in this way, his character will be formed. Habit will be formed. When habit is formed, character will be formed automatically. Easygoing life is the greatest enemy in spiritual life. Good food, good friend, what else? So long you have strength in body and mind, do something, earn something. Otherwise, after 70 years, 80 years, Lord knows whether a person will be, will be senile or not. Lord knows what will happen. At that time, you cannot get anything. At that time, a person is just like a straw floating on the surface of the river, is carried by the current. Whatever you will earn right now, afterward in the old days, you will be, at that time, mind does not have any power to get new impression. It floats on, like a straw. It has no strength, no independence, no freedom. Those who practice hard spiritual disciplines, they get taste. Name Ruchi. Turiyananda said, খেতে শুতে বসতে while you are taking shower in the or you are doing anything or vacuuming the floor or cleaning the dishes, whatever, everything, all the time, if you repeat your mantra, gradually you will find time to time your mind may be stopped. You may get a glimpse of your chosen ideal that we find in Holy Mother's life. Sitting, she was cutting vegetables in Udbodhan. All of a sudden, she was in Samadhi. They found that vegetable is there. Whole move, the entire movement stopped. She got Unmana Samadhi. Real transformation comes to a spiritual seeker. Next verse. Indriyani paranyahur. Indribhyo parang manaha manasastu para buddhir yo buddhi paratastu sa. The senses are superior, they say. Superior to the senses is the mind. Superior to the mind is the understanding. Superior to the understanding is the Atman. Purushanna parang kinchit sa kastha sa paragutihi, says the Katha Upanishad. Who is greater than the Atman? Who is greater than the Purusha? None. That Purusha is the end. It is the culmination. He is the supreme. None can transcend that Purusha. So, you can control your gross senses by the mind. And you can control the mind through your intellect. And you can control the intellect through your Atman, through the Self. Eknath wrote a very beautiful commentary on that. Here we have a simple hierarchy of the various members composing the human individual. We not only have a family at home, each of us is himself a family, whose members are the body, senses, mind, and intellect, who seldom pay any respect to the advice of the head, the Atman. Sometimes in meditation, the Atman says, "Boys, let us all get together and think one thought on the Lord." Immediately the body goes to sleep. That is his way of meditation. He says, "This is good for me. In this, I find security." And the Atman really does not know what to do. Then the palate says, I am going out for a quick one." The mind begins to reenact a quarrel which everyone else has forgotten, saying, "I don't want to live in the present. I want to reenact a drama that took place 5 years ago, in which my girlfriend gave me my hat." The intellect, supposedly the most cultured member of the group, says, "Nobody listens to my opinions." Finally, the Atman says, "I guess we would better wait for another incarnation to get these boys together." And we just throw up our hands. We can become united within only by training these rebels to act in harmony with the Atman through a total discipline based on the practice of meditation. We train the body by giving it the right exercise and food. The senses are trained through discriminating restraint. The Gita will tell us that we can poison ourselves not only through our mouth, but through our eyes and ears. In this respect, we can do our children a great service by guiding them in the movies they go to, the television programs they watch, and the books they read. We should remember that children do not know what to read and what not to read. It is the duty of the parents to educate their tastes gradually by giving them the right books, and then, when they are older, leaving them to make their own choice. Just as the body and senses can be trained and made to act in harmony with the Atman, the mind and intellect can also be trained. We train the mind by learning to transform negative emotions into positive ones, ill will into goodwill, hatred into love. To train the intellect, we must learn to be detached from our opinions. Even to have sound intellectual knowledge, we have to be, in a certain measure, detached from the intellect. In using the word objective, a favorite term in academic circles, we should remember that we cannot be objective as long as we identify ourselves with our opinions. The last verse.
Evam buddhe param buddhva sangasthebhyatmanam atmana juhi shatru mahavaho kamarupam durasadam.
Therefore, know him who is the superior to the understanding. Control the self by the self and destroy, O mighty Arjuna, the enemy who comes in the guise of desire and is hard to overcome.
Jahi Shatru Mahabaho, you will have to conquer your invincible, invisible, terrible enemy. How? How can we conquer, destroy the desire?
By self-knowledge. Atma Jnana, self-knowledge will burn not only desire, it will destroy the source of desire. What is the source of desire? Ajnana, ignorance. It will destroy the source of desire. Trigunatmika dori pure jaye. We are tied by a rope which has three parts. The three parts mean three gunas. These three gunas are connected with Maya. Maya consists of three gunas. So this self-knowledge burns that Maya in no time. Then Krishna says, Sangasthebhyo Atmana Atmana. Atmana means here, Atmana means Buddhi. Control the mind through Buddhi. How? Do you know how intellect controls the mind? I am the Atman. I have that conviction. I am the Atman. I am the Atman. I am the Atman. My mind says, no, you are Chetanananda, you are a monk, you live here, this and that. No. That is wrong identification with Chetanananda. I am the Atman. I am the Atman. I am the Atman. At last this conviction comes, you know. Please tell me, through repetition, conviction will come. It will come. My mother gave me a name and I am identified with that name. If your mother will give a name to you instead of, you know, John or Jane or Mary, instead if your mother would say your name is Eleanor, you would tie it with that Eleanor name or some other name. That name is tied with that form from the very beginning of your birth. So if my very beginning of my birth, if my mother would say you are the Atman, I would never identify myself with that name, I am Chetananda, or with any other name. So in India, generally they put, here also you put divine names, you know, Mary or John or divine being, you know, there also they put, generally the girls' names is Lakshmi, Saraswati, Durga, Shivani, all these goddesses' names. Boys' name you will find Ram, Shyam, Krishna, all these gods' names they put on their, you know, they give to their children. So that they can identify themselves with those names. Gauranga, Chaitanya, so that those boys can identify with those gods and goddesses. That is the only motive behind those names. Sangasthaibhya Atmana Atmanam. Then what will happen with Buddhi, intellect? I am the Atman, I am the Atman. And immediately this mind will be control. Mind will never be able to jump, you see, around. because the buddhi, intellect, is controlling the mind. So it will go inward. It will stop its waves. You see, so long there are waves on the ocean, on the surface of the ocean, there is no peace to the ocean. Similarly, if there are many waves of desires pass through your minds, you have no peace, no happiness. That Krishna says, this desire is the number one enemy. You can stop these waves only through meditation. This mind is a lake. When the waves are stopped, you can see your own self. You will get peace and bliss in this life. As Sri Ramakrishna said, if you have desires, you will not be able to see God. Desire for the worldly things. As the thread with full of fibers cannot pass through the eye of a needle, so if you have many desires, you cannot get concentration. Your mind will not go toward God. Desire is just like cloud. It covers the sun. Desire stains the mind. Desire brings ego. Ego of learning, intellect, money, beauty, power, position. Ego takes form in many ways. Desire is an obstacle to yoga. Desire stops our yearning for God. So, Johi Shatru Mahabaho, a Mahabaho, a great warrior, Arjuna, kill that enemy first so that you can realize your own self. Do you have any question? That is true, you know. You see, suppose my name is John. And now when I say I am John, you know, it is to hear people think, John, it is a secular name. John, John, Jack, Jack, you know, these are all names. But you know, John, you see, I am that John. He was one of the disciples of Christ. Christ was a holy man. I am his disciple. You know, that name is more or less same. Sometimes I am doing something wrong. You, John, look, you are not supposed to do this type of work. You know, that name sometimes is supposed to remind you your nature, that you are John. In Mexican people, here you generally don't put those names. They have a lot of Jesus, and Jesus. That name is very common among the Mexicans. Jesus. So, when that person says, I am Jesus, or for somebody's name is Gauranga, he's thinking, I am that Gauranga and I have no devotion for God. Or my name is Krishna, what am I doing? All worldly things. With that, you know, that name may bring some kind of association of divinity. That is the reason they put.
In the consciousness.
In the consciousness.
Not in the subconscious.
No.
It's in the actual consciousness.
That is true. There is a saying of Rabindranath Tagore, Naam manush ke jakaya tole, na manushi naam ke jakaya tole. The name does not make a person great. It is the man who makes the name great. Rabindranath Tagore as a person, he made himself famous through his writing. His name did not make him famous. It is he made his name famous. Vivekananda made his name famous through his action. Ramakrishna made his name famous through his action. My name may be Buddha, not necessarily. I may be the stupid person. I may be a stupid man. Om Asato Ma Satkamaya, Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya, Mrittur Ma Yamritam Gamaya, Avir Avir Ma Yedhi, Rudra Yatte Dakshinam Mukham, Tinamam Pahi Nittam,
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace. It is true, you know, do you know what happens sometimes? I tell you frankly. They call it no jojo no tostho. I have seen it here, whether you watched it or not, I do not know. When the current of the river changes, suppose high tide, low tide, when the low tide ends and the high tide starts from the ocean, and when this high tide and low tide, you know, they come face to face. At that time, if you watch that play, that point, you will find the water is vibrating. It is neither going this direction nor going this direction. The water is moving. If this coin, Bhuli Swami, you know, sometimes you will find in your life that I don't see any kind of big desires or this, you know, this and that, you know, not good desire, not bad desire, you know, in between two. At that time, always remember, if these two currents, high tide and low tide, they're face to face. And now it cannot be in that condition for a long time. It must go to one direction. Mind can never be in that same way. So, you know, do you know what do they do? In spiritual life, Maharaj said, they create dissatisfaction within. That what am I doing? Have I seen God? Have I talked to God? What am I doing? Every day you ask yourself. And, you know, a holy company helps. It will always remind you, what are you doing? You have not yet seen God. You have not yet, you know, finished your journey. What are you doing? Why did you stop your journey? You know, I was describing that, I was telling that with the head of the Sharada Math, Sarala Devi. Her name was Bharati Prana. She was the attendant of Holy Mother. After Holy Mother's passing away from 1920 till 1950s, 30 years,